And if you don't know the difference, last Sunday we heard a preacher, not a teacher. Can I get amen? Right? And so we're going to be in Matthew 25, if you want to get your Bibles ready, and we can do that. But a few things this week the Lord spoke to me, and this is what he said to me. I've not called this church to be a one-talent church. And if you don't know what that means, we'll get there in just a minute in the scriptures. And initially I took it was kind of, I felt like it was a little bit of a rebuke to me, but as I pondered it and sat on it, I really felt like it was more of an encouragement. And as I prayed, it was like maybe yesterday or the day before, I kind of saw a picture in my mind of like a father or, you know, a parent encouraging their children, right? That are discouraged and weary and whatever. Like, come on, man, you can do it. You're all right. That's not who you are. You're here, right? And it's like, and I really feel this is what the Lord's saying. Come on, church, it's time to wake up, right? It's time to get rid of the apathy and get rid of all these things, and we're going to look at that this morning. Amen. So Matthew 25, verse 14, let's pretend like we don't know this. Can I get amen? Amen. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. We need you right now. You're the preacher. You're the preacher. I'm the vessel. Let us all have ears to hear and soft hearts to receive what you want. In Jesus' name. Parable of the Talents. So this is Luke 19 as well. He doesn't call it the Parable of the Talents. And there it's very similar, a little bit different, which maybe we'll hit next week. But there's minas is the word instead of talents. But verse 14, it is just like a man. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. Amen. Here's a parable. It's like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Let me pause here just for a moment. We've all probably heard this taught, is that right? You've been in church for more than 5 minutes, you've heard this parable taught. But I want to say to you, sometimes I've heard this taught as if like this, the master obviously is Jesus, and that this parable is about the second coming of Christ, right? I don't think that's right. Because he gives authority to the 5-talent guy and to the 2-talent guy. We don't need any authority when Jesus comes back, y'all. We don't need any authority at that point because it's all over when he comes back. Is that right? This is a kingdom principle in how to advance in the kingdom of God. Can I get amen? Anybody want to advance in the kingdom of God? If you don't, this might not be a good church for you. We love you, but come on. The Lord said to me, and I'm going to skip around a little bit, but the Lord said to me, I did not call you to maintain. I called you to advance. Not about maintaining. We're going to hit that in this passage. Here we go. So you understand, this is a parallel about kingdom advancement. Verse 16, immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. I want to show you something that I noticed. I was reading through this again this morning. Notice that only the 1 talent guy, it's hid his master's money. Do you notice that? The other 2 guys, it says that they immediately took... Let's read it again. Immediately the one who'd received 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. The same manner the one who had received 2 gained 2 more. But the one who received 1 went and dug a hole and hid his master's money. What we need to understand, here's number 1. If you're taking notes, I ain't got no number 1s in my notes here. But if you're taking notes, what we need to understand is that God has given everybody something and it's yours to use. And you need to take possession of what God has given you to use. You got to take possession of it. Can I get amen? Let's keep reading. That's important. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. To the one who had received the 5 talents came up, brought five more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted. Everybody say entrusted. It's five talents to me. See, I have gained five more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful. Good in what church? Everybody say faithful. Good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the two talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted two talents to me. See, I have gained two more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, this is a weird parable to me if you read it, because how do these two guys know that they're supposed to take what the master gives them and make it grow? There's no instruction. Is that true? Luke's gospel, in his version of it, a little bit different, but he actually says, no, the master, it says the master gave, there's 10 slaves in that version of it. Each one going gets one, it's a mina, which is a difference. All, both of these talents are money. Mina is money in the Greek. But they all get one. But that in that story, it says that the master says, go do business with this. He actually gives them a little bit of instruction, all right? It's why it's important, my beloved, to read story. Look, compare stories in the Bible with each other. Is that true? Right? If you just read one book and find one thing, find it somewhere else in the Bible where it's talked about and marry the two things together. You'll understand it better. Is that all right? Now, if we look at some other stories in the Bible, just thinking about this, I'm struggling a little bit with it's one prophet and there's a king. I can't remember who it is. Maybe it's Hezekiah, but he's going to battle, and the prophet is old and sick, and he says to this guy, "Take an arrow and strike the ground." Anybody familiar with that story? And so he takes his arrow and he strikes the ground three times and stops. And the prophet says, "Because you only struck the ground three times, you're not going to get this great victory." And I'm like, what a messed up story. Y'all didn't say how many times to strike the ground. How'd I get in trouble when you never even tell me how many times to strike the ground? You know what he's doing? Because the prophet says, I said, strike the ground until you get the breakthrough. Keep doing it. Can I get an amen? What happens, my beloved, is God tells us to do something, and we're like, man, this feels kind of weird. Strike the ground with an arrow, what? It feels weird. It feels, oh, well, how long am I should do it? Till I coach at my gym on Thursday nights, and they say, how long we got to do this? I say, I'm the coach, I'll tell you when to stop. Can I get amen? Church, it's about asking, seeking, knocking. It's about going after God. I'm going to keep going after God till I get what I want. Is that true? Another side note here. Faithful. Well done, good and faithful slave. This week the Lord spoke to me, and this is all tying together, but he's talking about being faithful. Faithful. Right? And you know what we tend to think? Is we tend to think that being faithful is maintaining something. But these two good servants, they didn't maintain something, they increased something. And the response from the master was, you've been faithful. Is that true? So think about this. You cannot be faithful without faith. It requires faith to be faithful. And so if we understand that kingdom principle, then that would suggest that if we see people in life that are not faithful, it's because they're not operating in faith. Is that true? Do these two servants know that they're going to get something more because they've handled things properly from the master? They do not. The blessing they receive is all just bonus. Is that all right, church? Look at verse 24. The one also who had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was what, church? Oh, we've been talking about this for a few weeks now, haven't we? So if you remember, Jehoshaphat was afraid in 2 Chronicles 20, and he turned his face to seek the Lord, right? But this, we have a situation here where this servant, he knows him to be a hard man, gathering where you don't sow, reaping where you don't sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid. Everybody say your. I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Now, Luke's version of this, it says same thing. He says, I was afraid of you, so I wrapped it up in a handkerchief, and I hid it. And here it is. I gave it back to you. Look how shiny it is. It doesn't even scratch it up at all. So as I was thinking about this week, I've been, again, met with Michael, with Bishop Pitts on Tuesday, and I was explaining to him how I've done some things in the church over the past few years. And I said, oh, this situation, I handled it like this, and I did this, and I did that. And you know what? I'm as I'm telling Bishop this stuff, I'm like thinking to myself, you know, handled that pretty well, you know? And there's one particular situation, he's listening, and he looks, we're on Zoom, so he smiles. I get up there and I said, what do you think? He smiles. And he goes, so let me get something straight. You, as the pastor of your church, have built a culture that you're allowing this kind of thing to go on in your church. And I was like, yeah, I guess I am. So here I am thinking I'm doing something so good and could not even see this entirely other perspective of there's a reason you had to deal with that in the first place is because you're allowing these kinds of things to go on. I was like, oh. Now he's not saying be mean and offend people and all that stuff. No. Right? Scriptures are clear. But the point is, what I realized is I see the same thing right here. This one talent guy, he is actually pretty confident. I knew you to be a hard man. I know that you reap where you did not sow, you gather where you did not lay down. And so I kept it safe for you. Look how good I kept this for you, Master. Aren't you proud of me? Church, are you catching this? It's so easy right here, everybody, right here. It's so easy to get into this maintenance mindset, right? Is it good that we're, you know, I said on January 1st, I said, I think right here in the church, man, hey, we're here, head to 2020, we're still here, praise God, rah. Right? Should we maintain things? Should we take care of things? Should we be grateful that God is faithful and he's taking care of us and all these things? Sure. But you know what's been stirring in my spirit this month? I don't want to stand here 30 years from now if we're all still here and this church looks like it does right now. Because you know what? If God had said, I want River Valley to have 70 or 80 folks in it and just hide in the Eastview Drive till Jesus comes back, then we're arrived, man. We are fully in the will of God. But you know what God has said? I've called this church to be a beacon of hope in the region. I didn't say that. That's what God said. We've had two separate people have dreams, visions or dreams, either one, of this church owning this entire street. Right? The building at the end, I got blueprints in my office, made that into a church. It's in my office. Pastor Al, how many years ago was that drawn? 25? 25 years ago, 26. Church, we own every building on this street. There's a daycare already done. We ain't got to do nothing except change the sign on the front of the building. It's already done. There's a warehouse right next door. You ain't got to do nothing except paint it, make it into a youth center. Can I get an amen? TV station across the street for crying out loud. You know Michael Pitts' church? That's what he thought. I was shocked by this. Michael Pitts, I'm not saying that we ain't going to turn into Michael Pitts Jr., all right? So everybody just relax, calm down. But this is what Michael Pitts told me. He said, dude, when he gave his church over, he said they owned 150 rental units in the city of Toledo. They owned a movie theater, the church owned it. Television station, two radio stations, a downtown event center that the church owned that they'd rent out to folks. As well as over 100 churches globally launched out of Toledo, Ohio. from a young man, 18 years old, went up there by the word of the Lord to start a church. And he said, you know what? I know what God said, and I ain't letting go of it. Is this all right? It's going to happen whether it's all right or not. Praise God. Church, there are prophecy after prophecy. I've had visions myself of, I'll tell you, I had a dream one time, and I was in the dream. I was watching television, and I was watching the news, which I never watched, so you know that's a dream. Some of y'all should stop watching the news probably. Help you out a little bit in the spirit. And I was watching WTNH Channel 8. I knew that was clearly, I saw the van in my dream. We're out in the parking lot, right in this building, right out there. And I'm being interviewed by the lady. It was a woman. I don't know who it was, but a woman. And she says two things to me. She says, what is happening in this church? And the camera pans out, and there are cars up and down the street, both sides, every parking lot. All these parking lots are full of cars, and there's people streaming out of both doors of the building. 100 people everywhere. There's people everywhere. Kids running around, all kinds of stuff going on, right? There's cars trying to get in, cars trying to get out. It's crazy. Pandemonium. It's bananas going on. She says, what is going on here? How did this happen? And all I said in the dream was, I said, I don't know. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. And then she said, she hands the mic. She goes, gets the mic. She goes, well, why is it going on in your church and not the church up the street? And she goes back like this. And I said, I don't pastor the church up the street. I pastor this one. And I woke up, boom. And I realized the Lord said to me two things. Nothing will happen if you don't pray. It will not. God's goodness, he'll keep us limp, bumping along. But if we're not going to pray, we will not see the promises of God to come to pass. It will not happen. It will not happen. The Lord said to me, you're a fool if you think any of this will happen without prayer. You're a fool. And number two, the Lord said, don't ever compare yourself to the church up the street. We're not in competition. Amen. This is not a one-talent church. Could you imagine, my beloved, standing before God someday, thinking, look how good I did. And not only does he not like what we did, but he's actually angry about it. Yikes. You know, the last thing in the Sermon on the Mount is, Jesus says, many will come to me in that day, saying, Lord, Lord, look at all we did for you. We're prophesying, we're healing sick folks, we're casting out demons, and he says, I don't even know you. Whoa. On January 8th, Elder Mo, the Lord had a prophecy through Elder Mo. I sent that out yesterday morning. Is that yesterday morning? So here's what's crazy, y'all. If you read that, if you didn't, please go read it and pray about it. Get it in your spirit. But I did not have any idea, which I didn't remember anything that the Lord said through her. So this is from a journal entry from like this past Wednesday. The Lord said, I've not called you to be a one-talent church. I have not called you to simply maintain, but I've called you to multiply. I expect growth. I expect stewardship. I expect you to, here's the phrase, use what I have given you. I listened to the prophecy through Elder Mo. You know what the Lord said twice in that prophecy? Use what I have given you. I said, oh my goodness gracious. I think the Lord is confirming some things to us. Can I get amen? Right? It's like, look, church, we had a prophet here, Val Melendez. When was that, Pastor Al? 20, how many? 6, 7, 5, whatever, years ago. And you know what that prophetic word was to the church all those years ago? You have everything you need right here. And as I was pastoring, and I were talking, we talked a couple times on the phone yesterday, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me right there. He said, son, that word is as alive now as it was 26 years ago when it was given. Just because most of them folks aren't still here, it doesn't matter. It's not about the people. It's about what God said. God said, you got everything you need right here. Everything you need right here. What we do, my beloved, is we're always looking for something more. We're never satisfied. We never think we've got enough. We never think we're good enough. We never think we're spiritual enough. We never think we know the Bible well enough. We don't think we're trained well. I didn't go to school. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Who cares what you did or didn't do? God has equipped you with something. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, you have something right now that God wants you to start using. Talk about being faithful. The Lord said to me this week, the way to get what you want is to live like you already have what you want. The way you get what you want is to live like you already have what you want. Because what do we do, my beloved, if we're always looking for something more than what we currently have, which is all right, that's all right. But if we're always looking up, what happens is we get, especially as Americans, we get dissatisfied very quickly. Is that true? I'd say just for me, I like cars. So like, sometimes I get in my car, which is, I realize is a pretty nice car. But then I get in my car and I'm like, man, I wish I had a newer car than this. I get in my wife's truck. I don't know. She's like, I'm fine with this truck. I call it the dinosaur, 20 years old. But I'm like, yeah, I got my tax bill. I was like, I like this truck now. Praise God. Yeah, man. I can actually afford this tax bill this time. Praise the Lord. Is that all right? Walking, this is in my journal, church. Walking in my kingdom is not about losing, it isn't about not losing what I've given you. But it's about stepping out in faith and doing something with what I've given you. The one talent man is afraid to lose what God gave him. He's afraid to lose. That's what he says, right? I was afraid. He's either afraid of this man, the master, or he's afraid to lose what the master gave him, because I know you to be a harsh man. You know what's fascinating? When the master answers, the master doesn't say, oh no. I'm not mean. I'm really, really nice. It's all right. In Luke's version, he says, Luke records Jesus saying, by your own words, I'll judge you. If you knew me to be a harsh man, if that's how you understand me, then you should have at least put the money in the bank, earned some interest. Apparently, they had better rates back then than they have now. I don't know. I put money in the bank now. I think it's negative interest. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on with those folks. So I was working on this yesterday. The Lord spoke to me just about this, right? It's not about not losing, like this hoarding mindset, right? Stepping out and doing something, stepping out of faith. The Lord said to me, if you use it, you'll never lose it. If you use it, you never lose it. Some of you are probably going like, what is it though? What do we got? What did we get? Just hang on. Just hang on. I'm gonna tell you what we all got. Still in my journal here. The Lord said, I don't need you to keep anything I give you safe. Because what I gave you is to make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. And as soon as he had, I immediately thought about a soldier, right? A soldier is trained, they go to boot camp and learn how to use all their weapons and all these things. But then when they go to battle, they're given a rifle, right? Here's your rifle. And the soldier doesn't run out into battle and keep his rifle wrapped up in bubble wrap and hope they don't get a scratch on it. He doesn't think, look, he doesn't have magazines full of ammunition in his vest and think, I better not use any of this stuff because, you know, I got to give it back when I'm done. No, they're going to go out there and empty. They're going to use everything they got. Chucking grenades, they don't care. Like, I'm going to do whatever I got. I've been equipped to go into battle. Is that true? Church, we do not understand that there is a battle raging. You just can't see it. I prayed for somebody last Sunday. I've said this to many of you. You know, if somebody broke into your house who was going to hurt your wife or hurt your kids, there's not a man in this room that would not get up and lay his life down for his family. Not a man in this building. Not a man online that would not say, you know, you're not touching my kids. You're not touching my wife. You want the TV? I'll help you get it out the door. I can get another one. Praise God. Saw that at Best Buy the other day, had like an 80-inch TV for like $800. I was like, babe, I think the TV's broke. What are you doing? I might break it on accident. 80-inch TV was $800. I was like, bro, it's bigger than the room. It's like I'm at the movies, man. Listen to this, church. This is what I say to people. Right? If somebody broke into my house, was gonna hurt my wife or kids, I'll kill you. And let the cops sort it out. Let Jesus deal with it. But I say to people, here's what you don't understand. Somebody is breaking into your house and messing with your wife and your kids. You just can't see them. If you're new with us, the building makes noise at good times. Right? We're so, and that goes to you, ladies too, right? The most, you know, some of the scariest animals on the planet is mama bear, mama lion, right? The dead lion's up there taking a nap in the sun. It's mama lion that's out there. Don't mess with my kid. Don't mess with my cubs. Is that true? I don't need you to keep anything safe. I don't need you to keep anything I give you. The Lord's saying, I don't need you to keep anything I've given you safe because I gave it to you to make you dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. So if we go to this parable, here's how it wraps up. Both Matthew and Luke, the master says, calls him, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. Could you imagine? Again, he thinks, look how good I kept this. I kept it so perfect for you. Here it is. It's yours. Have it back. It's like the master's like, look, I don't even want it back. Notice, is that true? I never even thought about it till right now. He doesn't take, the guy he gave 5 talents, so he doesn't take the 5 talents back. He lets him keep it. He don't want it back. The 2 talent guy, he don't take those talents back. Hey, here's my 2. I made 2 more. He's like, wow, praise God. Great job, man. Here's more. I don't want it back. Those times I don't want it back. I gave it to you. Church, I'm telling you, here it is. Here it is. Ready? Here's what we're given. Because let me back up. Here's how the parable ends. Take what was given to this wicked slave and give it to the one who's got 10 talents or 10 minas, either way. Can I get amen, right? Here's what it is. I think it's grace. I think the talents or the minas, either one, is grace. Yesterday, I just was thinking about this. Okay, Lord, what is it? What are we given? What is this thing that's given to us? The master leaves. He gives us something. He says, I'm going to go away. I want you to steward this thing. I want you to take care of what I'm giving you. I want you to, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to check out what you did with what I gave you. You know what? I started looking around in my Bible software. I typed in given and grace and searched. Yo, Paul says it in almost every one of his letters, the grace given to me, the grace given to me, the grace given to the church, the grace given to this, the grace given to me to be an effectual preacher of the gospel, the grace given, grace given, grace given, over and over and over. You know what Paul says in one of his letters? Do not receive the grace of God in vain. Oh, pastor, well, I thought that grace covers my sin. Wrong. That is wrong. I told Pastor L on the phone yesterday, whoever started spreading that garbage into church, God have mercy on his soul. Because that has produced a bunch of sloppy garbage in the church. Oh, I got the grace of God in me. Right. The grace of God's in you to make you better, Kevin. And we're grateful for it. Church, the grace of God is in you to make something happen. The grace, you read the Bible, mercy is what covers our sin. Grace has got nothing to do. You want how you stop sinning? It's you stop sinning because of grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Right, save me because I stopped sinning. This whole thing in the church today where you can be saved and keep right on sinning, garbage. That is an absolute lie from the pit of hell. Hey, man, it's all right. Jesus understands. Right, he understands. He hung on a cross to pay for it and set you free from it. This thing, I can just live any way I want to, and God's going to use me. Wrong. That's wrong. How do you like this sermon, Kevin? So far, so good. Kevin likes it. Praise God. Let me show you something else here, church. We got some time. I'll be done early. Talents. Talents in the Bible. And that's crazy how many. I've heard some preachers I like preach about talents, and they say it's all kinds of stuff. I can't. It blows my mind. A talent in the Bible is an amount of money. And if you look at the Greek word, it's 15 years' wages. One talent, 15 years' wages. Now, if you want to get real specific, it was 15 years' wages for a hired servant. So let's just think about this. If the master comes and gives the first guy 5 talents, one talent's 15 years' wages, so 5 is 75 years' worth of income. Cuts him a check. Here you go. 2 talents is 30 years worth of income. And 1 talent is still 15 years worth of income. I don't know about y'all, but if somebody walked up to me and said, hey man, I want to give you a check for 15 years of the most gross, the best year you ever had. I'm going to multiply that times 15, and here you go. And I'm giving this to you because I want you to do something for God with it. And then the guy leaves and he comes back, and all we do is give him his check back. We never even cashed it. Look, I got your check. It's right here. I put it in a Ziploc baggie so it didn't even get faded. Praise God. Could you imagine? That guy'd be like, what are you talking about? What? Look, you did nothing with all that? Look what I gave you. Is this all right, church? And what we're getting, my beloved, this morning is a warning from God. I've given you grace. The Bible says that each person was given a measure of grace. All the spiritual gifts, all grace. All grace. So why are there 1 and 2 and 5 talents, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that each one's given talents according to his ability, right? And I've heard preachers preach this, which I agree with, that say, look, if you're a 2-talent person, don't get upset because somebody got 5 talents. It don't matter. Because God doesn't need you to make 5 talents if he only gave you 2. Again, what did he say to the 1-talent guy? If you had at least put the money in the bank and made me some interest, I'd have been okay with that. You should have done more, but at least a little bit. Is this all right, church? Let me kind of wrap this up. First closing right here, starting. First closing. I think we have to look at it like this. Grace is a free gift from God. Is that true? And what we've done unintentionally in the church is we've talked about grace, and whenever we talk about, you know, stepping out in faith and using our grace, we think about 2 hours on Sunday. But I loved what our brother said to everybody last Sunday. We got to understand that God's been on this for a long time. There's people, I'd say most of you in this building right now, most of you online, God's going to use you outside the church far, far more. He's going to use you inside the church on a Sunday morning. Like, are there some people in here that maybe are called to stand up here and yell at everybody for an hour, preach the gospel and lead worship or whatever? Sure, pray for people, sure. But most of us, most of the people in the Bible were called outside of the temple, were called out into the marketplace, out into the world, and go out and pray for people. Go out and share the gospel. Go out there, right? And so think about the grace. God has given each of us some grace to make an impact wherever we are and whatever we do every day, all day long. It's just that just be brave enough to say, man, can I pray for you? We were on the way to school, brought my kids to school the other day, and right by my house, this little spot where it goes downhill and turns to the left, this lady's in front of me, slides straight off the road, up a bank, rolls her car over right in front of me. I was like, first of all, thank God, because that would have been me, because I wasn't paying attention. So I get out. One of the teachers from my kid's school, it's a Christian school, he's behind me. We both get out. We come down. We get this lady out of her car. She's not hurt. Praise God. And he's the one. He says, look, we're people of faith. Can we pray for you? I was like, here's the pastor over here not praying for this lady. And the teachers, the school teacher got to do it. I was like, Lord, come on. So we prayed for this lady. It was awesome. Right? Is this making sense, church? God, if we go back to Pastoral's prophecy, which I would encourage you, if you haven't read it yet, please read it, all transcribed. I'm done right here. So here's how I see this. I explained a little bit on my email about Pastoral's prophecy and the sales and the engine, all that stuff. Go read that. But here's what I see. Like Pastoral's prophecy, or the one through Pastoral's, more like a vision for 2023, right? Like, we need to look at that, and it's about launching the ship and cutting the ropes and manning our stations. And right in that word from the Lord, from Pastor Alice, right about halfway through, the Lord says, don't worry that you don't know how to do it. Stop waiting until you think you got it all figured out. But go on what you know. And as you step out in faith, God says, I will teach you how to do it. When I took this church over, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Probably still don't most of the time. But that's not, it don't take faith if you know how everything's going to work out. Is that true? The second week, my beloved, through Elder Mo, was more of a directional, like, application prophecy, right? Do you believe? The Lord must have asked about 12 times. I've heard, do you believe me? Do you believe this? Do you believe my word? Do you believe who I am? I am who I am. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that? Use what I have given you. Use what I've given you. Use what I've given you. We've got it 4 times between Elder Mo and my journal entry. 4 times in 4 days. Use what 4 times in 8 days. Use what I've given you. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. We're done a little early. Yes, sir. Sure.
Oh, goodness gracious. I am so encouraged with this word. This has been going through my spirit, my thinking for years. Here we are in a little church in New England. No, I'm just saying this is what we think. This is what our mindset is. God moves out of our obedience. I don't care how you cut it. I've got to give you this word. I'm going to water what Pastor Mark said. I'm going to water it. Here it goes. I'm going to make it quick, but you're finishing a little early, so God's going to do this. Okay, watch this. We're New Englanders. We were born and bred here. Get this. In the spring of 1982, a girl came up to me in church. She said, John, you should go down to Texas. And I thought, what in the world do I want to do that for? I had no desire to go to Texas. None. I didn't want to go to Texas. And then she'd come in next week, she'd say the same thing. And she kept after me. She wouldn't let me alone. Then I said, God, am I supposed to do this? So I got the application to go to Texas. I gave it to the pastor, and here's the New England pastor. He says, what do you want to do that for? I don't know. I just supposed to go. Finally, after a couple weeks, he signed the application, and I went down to Texas. Totally out of obedience. I didn't want to go. I flew down with this girl. We went down there. First semester at school in Texas, I knew I was supposed to be there, and people started prophesying over me. One Sunday morning, I went to the cafeteria to have breakfast, and after I walked across the parking lot, I was ready to cross over, and a white bus pulled up in front of me. Nothing on the bus but an orange stripe. There was nobody on the bus except for the driver. I had no intentions to getting on this bus. I didn't have any idea what it was. The guy opens up the door and he says, you're going? Am I going where? I had no idea. Spirit of God says, get in the bus. What? What? I don't know where this guy is going. I have no clue. I said, where are you going? Rockwall. Going to Rockwall, Texas. I had nothing else to do. You know, crazy me. I'm always adventurous. What the heck? I'll get on the bus. I get on the bus. He's going, goes on the other side of the campus, picks up a couple of people. He drives 28 and a half miles up to Rockwall, up Route 30. Drops off at the cafeteria of a high school. There's 13 families in that building. Went through the service. It was a church, very small. Just the way it started here. Get back in the bus. Get back to the campus next week. I thought, what the heck? I'll get back on the bus. So I'll go on the bus. You're not going to believe this. A couple weeks went by. See, we need a driver. Can you drive the bus? I'm driving the bus. Now I'm driving this bus 28 and a half miles up to Rockwall. I'm going around the campus. You want to get on? Hey, where are you going? Rockwall. No, I'm driving the bus. Okay. The pastor of this church, his name's Larry Lee. Here's our mindset. Oh, it was Texas. You ready for this? They bought the parking lot across the street. It was a used car lot. And they built a building, held 1,200 people. In a couple of years, that thing was filled, 1,200 people. Then it grew so fast. They had three services. The state of Texas had to build a ramp off the highway, Interstate 30, to get over to this building. It was an off-ramp. Because the traffic was so intense. Just like what we prophesied out here. Yeah. Traffic, right? After 3 years, there was 8,000 people in that church. And I told that to a lady in Canton when I came back. She said, that's not a church, that's a cult. God moved in that church. Absolutely unbelievable. I'm watering the word right here. Folks, when the Holy Spirit moves, watch out. And it's going to happen when we're obedient. It's going to happen. Amen. It's been prophesied. The word's been given. And I think about this all the time. I said, where's the opportunity for me to give the water? To let you know When God says it's going to happen, stand back, folks, or move forward, whatever, because you can't stop it. You can't stop the Holy Spirit when it moves like that. But when I tell somebody in Connecticut and they say, oh, that's a cult, I tell you what, when the Holy Spirit moves, watch out. But that's my watering of the word. It's awesome.
Thank you, man. So let's pray here for a moment, all right? And again, we've been doing this year. We won't do it all year, but I want to do it again. Can you just turn, get somebody that's near you, maybe four or five people, just grab hands there, and let's pray together, right? And I want to just pray over you. We're still a little early. I'm just going to pray just briefly over you. And I want to leave you encouraged, right? God says to Moses when he calls him, what's in your hand? God says to Moses, what's in your hand? And he's got the staff in his hand, and God uses that staff as a supernatural weapon against the land of Egypt. Amen. God has given something to every one of us. It's in your hand. The word of God is near us, in our hearts, in our mouths, right? We have already been given what we need to move forward in the kingdom. We don't need anything else. It's already in us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, forgive us for just going on cruise control. Forgive us for like thinking I got to give something back to you. Look how good I held on to this for you, Jesus. God, you'd rather have us use up everything you gave us. Going for it. And this is what Bishop Pitt said to me. He said, look, man, you can never step out in faith and fail. I can't wait to talk to him again. I say, okay, what do you mean by that? Because I think we're afraid of that, aren't we, church? Come on. What if I step out in faith? It doesn't work. If you step out in faith, it has to work. It has to work. And so, God, I release right now a 2-talent, a 5-talent anointing on this people. God, a stewardship, a faithfulness. That, Lord, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, at home, at work, wherever you've sent us, God, that's our mission field, God. That's our place to go and say, all right, I've been given grace for this place. I've been given a word for this place. I've been given an assignment to be here, even though I don't like it. But God, use me wherever you've assigned me. Help me to multiply what you've given me. In Jesus' name. Why don't you guys just take just a few moments, just pray for each other, bless your friends there in your circle in the name of the Lord. Amen. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. Thank you, man. Awesome. Have an awesome week. Jesus' name, amen.